Are you quitting or not? I yelled. He didn't answer me. He just laughed. I could tell by the way his shoulders shook as he closed the gate. After he left, I fell back into the water and floated. I could feel my heart beating through my ears. It thudded, quick, 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 like a metronome. Conrad was different. I'd sensed something, even at dinner, before he'd told me about Aubrey. He had changed. And yet, the way he affected me was still the same. It felt just exactly the same. It felt like I was at the top of the grizzly at King's Dominion, right about to go down the first hill. Chapter 10. Billy, have you called your dad yet? My mother asked me. No. I think you should call him and tell him how you're doing. I rolled my eyes. I doubt he's sitting at home worrying about it. Still. Well, have you made Stephen call him? I countered. No, I haven't, she said, her tone level. Your dad and Stephen are about to spend 2 weeks together looking at colleges. You, on the other hand, won't get to see him until the end of summer. Why did she have to be so reasonable? Everything was that way with her. My mother was the only person I knew who could have a reasonable divorce. My mother got up and handed me the phone. Call your father, she said, leaving the room. She always left the room when I called my father, like she was giving me privacy. As if there were some secrets I needed to tell my father that I couldn't tell him in front of her. I didn't call him. I put the phone back in its cradle. He should be the one calling me, not the other way around. He was the father. I was just the kid. And anyway, dads didn't belong in the summer house. Not my father and not Mr. Fisher. Sure, they'd come to visit, but it wasn't their place. They didn't belong to it. Not the way we all did. The mothers and us kids. Chapter 11. Age 9. We were playing cards outside on the porch, and my mother and Susanna were drinking margaritas and playing their own card game. The sun was starting to go down, and soon the mothers would have to go inside and boil corn and hot dogs. But not yet. First, they played cards. Laurel, why do you call my mom Beck when everyone else calls her Susanna? Jeremiah wanted to know. He and my brother, Stephen, were a team, and they were losing. Card games bored Jeremiah, and he was always looking for something more interesting to do. To talk about. Because her maiden name is Beck, my mother explained, grinding out a cigarette. They only smoked when they were together, so it was a special occasion. My mother said smoking with Susanna made her feel young again. I said it would shorten her lifespan by years, but she waved off my worries and called me a doomsdayer. What's a maiden name? Jeremiah asked. My brother tapped Jeremiah's hand of cards to get him back into the game, but Jeremiah ignored him. It's a lady's name before she gets married, Dipwad, said Conrad. Don't call him Dipwad, Conrad, Susanna said automatically, sorting through her hand. But why does she have to change her name at all? Jeremiah wondered. She doesn't. I didn't. My name is Laurel Dunn, same as the day I was born. Nice, huh? My mother liked to feel superior to Susanna for not changing her name. After all, why should a woman have to change her name for a man? She shouldn't. Laurel, please shut up, said Susanna, throwing a few cards down onto the table. Gin. My mother sighed and threw her cards down, too. I don't want to play gin anymore. Let's play something else. Let's play Go Fish with these guys. Sore loser, Susanna said. Mom, we're not playing Go Fish. We're playing hearts, and you can't play because you always try to cheat, I said. Conrad was my partner, and I was pretty sure we were going to win. I had picked him on purpose. Conrad was good at winning. He was the fastest swimmer, the best boogie boarder, and he always, always won at cards. Susanna clapped her hands together and laughed. Lore, this girl is you all over again. My mother said, no, Belly's her father's daughter. And they exchanged the secret look that made me want to say, what, what? But I knew my mother would never say. She was a secret keeper. Always had been. And I guessed I did look like my father. I had his eyes that turned up at the corners. A little girl version of his nose. His chin that jutted out. All I had of my mother was her hands. Then the moment was over, and Susanna smiled at me and said, you're absolutely right, Belly. Your mother does cheat. She's always cheated at heart. Cheaters never prosper, children. Susanna was always calling us children, but the thing was, I didn't even mind. Normally I would. But the way Susanna said it, it didn't seem like a bad thing. Not like we were small and babyish. Instead, it sounded like we had our whole lives in front of us. Chapter 12. Mr. Fisher would pop in throughout the summer, an occasional weekend, and always the first week of August. He was a banker, and getting away for any real length of time was, according to him, simply impossible. And anyway, it was better without him there, when it was just us. When Mr. Fisher came to town, which wasn't very often, I stood up a little straighter. Everyone did. Well, except Susanna and my mother, of course. The funny thing was, my mother had known Mr. Fisher for as long as Susanna had. The three of them had gone to college together, and their school was small. Susanna always told me to call Mr. Fisher Adam, but I could never do it. It just didn't sound right. Mr. Fisher was what sounded right, so that's what I called him, and that's what Stephen called him, too. I think something about him inspired people to call him that, and not just kids, either. I think he preferred it that way. He'd arrive at dinner time on Friday night, and we'd wait for him. Susanna would fix his favorite drink and have it ready, ginger and Maker's Mark. My mother teased her for waiting on him. But Susanna didn't mind. My mother teased Mr. Fisher, too, in fact. He teased her right back. Maybe teasing isn't the right word. It was more like bickering. They bickered a lot, but they smiled, too. It was funny. My mother and father had rarely argued, but they hadn't smiled that much either. I guess Mr. Fisher was good-looking for a dad. He was better-looking than my father, anyway. But he was also vainer than him. I don't know that he was as good-looking as Susanna was beautiful, but that might have just been because I loved Susanna more than almost anyone. And who could ever measure up to a person like that? Sometimes it's like people are a million times more beautiful to you in your mind. It's like you see them through a special lens. But maybe if it's how you see them, that's how they really are. It's like the whole tree falling in the forest thing. Mr. Fisher gave us kids a 20 anytime we went anywhere. Conrad was always in charge of it. For ice cream, he'd say, buy yourself something sweet. Something sweet. It was always something sweet. Conrad worshipped him. His dad was his hero. For a long time, anyway. Longer than most people. I think my dad stopped being my hero when I saw him with one of his PhD students, after he and my mother separated. She wasn't even pretty. It would be easy to blame my dad for the whole thing, the divorce, the new apartment. But if I blamed anyone, it was my mother. Why did she have to be so calm, so placid? At least my father cried. At least he was in pain. My mother said nothing, revealed nothing. Our family broke up, and she just went on. It wasn't right. When we got home from the beach that summer, my dad had already moved out. His first edition Hemingways, his chess set, his Billy Joel CDs, Claude. Claude was his cat, and he belonged to my dad in a way that he didn't to anyone else. It was only right that he took Claude. Still, I was sad. In a way, Claude being gone was almost worse than my dad, because Claude was so permanent in the way he lived in our house, the way he inhabited every single space. It was like he owned the place. My dad took me out for lunch to Applebee's, and he said apologetically, "I'm sorry I took Claude. Do you miss him?" He had Russian dressing on his beard, newly grown out for most of the lunch. It was annoying. The beard was annoying. The lunch was annoying. "No," I said. I couldn't look up from my French onion soup. "He's yours anyway." So my father got Claude, and my mother got Stephen and me. It worked out for everyone. We saw my father most weekends. We'd stay at his new apartment that smelled like mildew, no matter how much incense he lit. I hated incense, and so did my mother. It made me sneeze. I think it made my father feel independent and exotic to light all the incense he wanted in his new pad, as he called it. As soon as I walked into the apartment, I said accusingly, "Have you been lighting incense in here?" Had he forgotten about my allergy already? Guiltily, my father admitted that, yes, he had lit some incense, but he wouldn't do it anymore. He still did, though. He did it when I wasn't there, out the window. But I could still smell the stuff. It was a two-bedroom apartment. He slept in the master bedroom, and I slept in the other one, in a little twin bed with pink sheets. My brother slept on the pull-out couch, which I was actually jealous of because he got to stay up watching TV. All my room had was a bed and a white dresser set that I barely even used. Only one drawer had clothes in it. The rest were empty. There was a bookshelf, too, with books my father had bought for me. My father was always buying me books. He kept hoping I'd turn out smart like him. Someone who loved words. Loved to read. I did like to read, but not the way he wanted me to. Not in the way of being like a scholar. I liked novels, not nonfiction, and I hated those scratchy pink sheets. If he had asked me, I would have told him yellow, not pink. He did try, though. In his own way, he tried. He bought a second-hand piano and crammed it into the dining room just for me, so I could still practice, even when I stayed over there, he said. I hardly did, though. The piano was out of tune, and I never had the heart to tell him. It's part of why I longed for summer. It meant I didn't have to stay at my father's sad little apartment. It wasn't that I didn't like seeing him. I did. I missed him so much. But that apartment, it was depressing. I wished I could see him at our house. Our real house. I wished it could be like it used to be. And since my mother had us most of the summer, he took Stephen and me on a trip when we got back. Usually it was to Florida, to see our grandmother. We called her Grandma. It was a depressing trip, too. Grandma spent the whole time trying to convince him to get back together with my mother, whom she adored. "Have you talked with Laurel lately?" she'd ask, even way long after the divorce. I hated hearing her nag him about it. It wasn't like it was in his control anyway. It was humiliating, because it was my mother who had split up with him, It was she who had precipitated the divorce, had pushed the whole thing. I knew that much for sure. My father would have been perfectly content carrying on, living in our blue two-story with Claude and all his books. My dad once told me that Winston Churchill said that Russia was a riddle, wrapped in a mystery, inside an enigma. According to my dad, Churchill had been talking about my mother. This was before the divorce, and he said it half bitterly, half respectfully. Because even when he hated her, he admired her. I think he would have stayed with her forever, trying to figure out the mystery. He was a puzzle solver, the kind of person who likes theorems, theories. X always had to equal something. It couldn't just be X. To me, my mother wasn't that mysterious. She was my mother, always reasonable, always sure of herself. To me, she was about as mysterious as a glass of water. She knew what she wanted. She knew what she didn't want. And that was to be married to my father. I wasn't sure if it was that she fell out of love, or if it was that she just never was. In love, I mean. When we were at Grandma's, my mother took off on one of her trips. She'd go to far-off places like Hungary or Alaska. She always went alone. She took pictures, but I never asked to look at them. And she never asked if I wanted to. Chapter 13. I was sitting in an Adirondack chair eating toast and reading a magazine when my mother came out and joined me. She had that serious look on her face, her look of purpose, the one she got when she wanted to have one of her mother-daughter talks. I dreaded those talks the same way I dreaded my period. "What are you doing today?" she asked me casually. I stuffed the rest of my toast into my mouth. "This? Maybe you could get started on your summer reading for AP English," she said, reaching over and brushing some crumbs off my chin. "Yeah, I was planning on it," I said, even though I hadn't been. My mother cleared her throat. "Is Conrad doing drugs?" she asked me. "What? Is Conrad doing drugs?" I almost choked. "No! Why are you asking me anyway? Conrad doesn't talk to me." "Ask Stephen. I already did. He doesn't know. He wouldn't lie," she said, peering at me. "Well, I wouldn't either." My mother sighed. "I know. Beck's worried. He's been acting differently. He quit football. I quit dance," I said, rolling my eyes. "And you don't see me running around with a crack pipe." She pursed her lips. "Will you promise to tell me if you hear something?" "I don't know," I said teasingly. I didn't need to promise her. I knew Conrad wasn't doing drugs. A beer was one thing, but he would never do drugs. I would bet my life on it. "Belly, this is serious. Mom, chill. He's not doing drugs. When'd you turn into such a narc anyway? You're one to talk." I elbowed her playfully. She bit back a smile and shook her head. "Don't start." Chapter 14. Age 13. The first time they did it, they thought we didn't know. It was actually pretty stupid of them, because it was one of those rare nights when we were all at home. We were in the living room. Conrad was listening to music with his headphones on, and Jeremiah and Stephen were playing a video game. I was sitting on the Lazy Boy reading Emma, mostly because I thought it made me look smart, Not really because I enjoyed it. If I was reading for real, I would be locked in my room with flowers in the attic or something, and not Jane Austen. I think Stephen smelled it first. He looked around, sniffed like a dog, and then said, "Do you guys smell that?" "I told you not to eat all those baked beans, Stephen," Jeremiah said, his eyes focused on the TV screen. I snickered. But it wasn't gas. I smelled it too. It was pot. "It's pot," I said loudly. I wanted to be the one who said it first, to prove how sophisticated and knowledgeable I was. "No way," said Jeremiah. Conrad took off his headphones and said,
"Belly's right. It's pot."
Stephen paused the game and turned to look at me.
"How do you know what pot smells like, Belly?"
he asked me suspiciously. "Because, Stephen, I get high all the time. I'm a burnout."
"You didn't know?"
I hated it when Stephen pulled the Big Brother routine, especially in front of Conrad and Jeremiah. It was like he was trying to make me feel small on purpose. He ignored me.
"Is that coming from upstairs?"
"It's my mom's,"
Conrad said, putting his headphones back on again.
"For her chemo."
Jeremiah didn't know. I could tell. He didn't say anything, but he looked confused and even hurt, the way he scratched the back of his neck and looked off into space for a minute. Stephen and I exchanged a look. It was awkward. Whenever Susanna's cancer came up, the two of us being outsiders and all, we never knew what to say, so we didn't say anything. We mostly pretended it wasn't happening, the way Jeremiah did. My mother didn't, though. She was matter-of-fact, calm, the way she is about everything. Susanna said my mother made her feel normal. My mother was good at that, making people feel normal. Safe. Like, as long as she was there, nothing truly bad could happen. When they came downstairs a little while later, they were giggling like two teenagers who had snuck into their parents' liquor cabinet. Clearly, my mother had partaken in Susanna's stash as well. Stephen and I exchanged another look, this time a horrified one. My mother was probably the last person on earth who would smoke pot, with the exception of our grandmother, Gran. Her mother.
"Did you kids eat all the Cheetos?" my mother asked, rummaging through a cabinet. "I'm starving."
"Yes," Stephen said. He couldn't even look at her.
"What about that bag of Fritos?"
"Get those," Susanna ordered, coming up behind my lazy boy. She touched my hair lightly, which I loved. Susanna was much more affectionate than my mother in those kinds of ways. And she was always calling me the daughter she never had. She loved sharing me with my mother, and my mother didn't mind. Neither did I.
"How are you liking Emma so far?" she asked me.
Susanna had a way of focusing on you that made you feel like the most interesting person in the room. I opened my mouth to lie and tell her how great I thought it was, but before I could, Conrad said very loudly,
"She hasn't turned a page in over an hour."
He was still wearing his headphones. I glared at him, but inside I was thrilled that he had noticed. For once, he had been watching me. But of course he'd noticed. Conrad noticed everything. Conrad would notice if the neighbor's dog had more crust in its right eye than its left, or if the pizza delivery guy was driving a different car. It wasn't really a compliment to be noticed by Conrad. It was a matter of fact.
"You'll love it once it gets going," Susanna assured me, sweeping my bangs across my forehead.
"It always takes me a while to get into a book," I said, in a way that sounded like I was saying sorry. I didn't want her to feel bad, seeing as how she was the one who'd recommended it to me. Then my mother came into the room with a bag of Twizzlers and the half-eaten bag of Fritos. She tossed a Twizzler at Susanna and said, belatedly, "Catch!" Susanna reached for it, but it fell on the floor, and she giggled as she picked it up. "Clumsy me," she said, chewing on one end like it was straw and she was a hick. "Whatever has gotten into me?" "Mom, everyone knows you guys were smoking pot upstairs," Conrad said, just barely bobbing his head to the music that only he could hear. Susanna covered her mouth with her hand. She didn't say anything, but she looked genuinely upset. "Whoops," my mother said. "I guess the cat's out of the bag, Beck." "Boys, your mother's been taking medicinal marijuana to help with the nausea from her chemo." Stephen didn't look away from the TV when he said, "What about you, Mom? Are you toking up because of your chemo, too?" I knew he was trying to lighten the mood. And it worked. Stephen was good at that. Susanna choked out a laugh, and my mother threw a Twizzler at the back of Stephen's head. "Smartass. I'm offering up moral support to my best friend in the world. There are worse things." Stephen picked the Twizzler up and dusted it off before popping it into his mouth. "So I guess it's okay with you if I smoke up too?" "When you get breast cancer," my mother told him, exchanging a smile with Susanna, her best friend in the world. "Or when your best friend does," Susanna said. Throughout all of this, Jeremiah wasn't saying anything. He just kept looking at Susanna, and then back at the TV, like he was worried she would vanish into thin air while his back was turned. Our mothers thought we were all at the beach that afternoon. They didn't know that Jeremiah and I had gotten bored and decided to come back to the house for a snack. As we walked up the porch steps, we heard them talking through the window screen. Jeremiah stopped when he heard Susanna say, "Laura, I hate myself for even thinking this, but I almost think I'd rather die than lose my breast." Jeremiah stopped breathing as he stood there, listening. Then he sat down, and I did, too. My mother said, "I know you don't mean that." I hated it when my mother said that. And I guessed Susanna did too, because she said, "Don't tell me what I mean." And I'd never heard her voice like that before. Harsh. Angry. "Okay, okay, I won't." Susanna started to cry then. And even though we couldn't see them, I knew that my mother was rubbing Susanna's back in wide circles, the same way she did mine when I was upset. I wished I could do that for Jeremiah. I knew it would make him feel better. But I couldn't. Instead, I reached over and grabbed his hand and squeezed it tight. He didn't look at me, but he didn't let go either. This was the moment when we became true, real friends. Then my mother said, in her most serious, most deadpan voice, "Your boobs really are pretty goddamn amazing." Susanna burst out into laughter that sounded like a seal barking, and then she was laughing and crying at the same time. Everything was going to be okay. If my mother was cussing, if Susanna was laughing, it would all be fine. I let go of Jeremiah's hand and stood up. He did too. We walked back to the beach, neither of us saying anything. What was there to say? "Sorry your mom has cancer? I hope she doesn't lose a boob." When we got back to our stretch of beach, Conrad and Stephen had just come out of the water with their boogie boards. We still weren't saying anything. And Stephen noticed. I guessed Conrad did too, but he didn't say anything. It was Stephen who said, "What's with you guys?" "Nothing," I said, pulling my knees to my chest.
"Did you guys just have your first kiss or something?"
he said, shaking water off his trunks and onto my knees.
"Shut up,"
I told him. I was tempted to pants him just to change the subject. The summer before, the boys had gone through an obsession with pantsing one another in public. I had never participated, but at that moment I really wanted to.
"Aw, I knew it,"
he said, jabbing me in the shoulder. I shrugged him off and told him to shut up again. He started to sing,
"Summer lovin' had me a blast. Summer lovin' happened so fast."
"Stephen, quit being dumb," I said, turning to shake my head and roll my eyes with Jeremiah. But then Jeremiah stood up, brushed sand off his shorts, and started walking toward the water and away from us, away from the house.
"Jeremiah, are you on your period or something?"
"I was just kidding, man,"
Stephen called to him. Jeremiah didn't turn around. He just kept walking down the shore.
"Come on."
"Just leave him alone," Conrad said.
The two of them never seemed particularly close, but there were times when I saw how well they understood each other. And this was one of them. Seeing Conrad protective of Jeremiah made me feel this huge surge of love for him. It felt like a wave in my chest washing over me, which then made me feel guilty because why should I be feeding into a crush when Susanna had cancer? I could tell Stephen felt bad and also confused. It was unlike Jeremiah to walk away. He was always the first to laugh, to joke right back. And because I felt like rubbing salt in the wound, I said, "You're such an asshole, Stephen." Stephen gaped at me.
"Jeez, what did I do?"
I ignored him and fell back onto the towel and closed my eyes. I wished I had Conrad's earphones. I kind of wanted to forget this day ever happened. Later, when Conrad and Stephen decided to go night fishing, Jeremiah declined, even though night fishing was his favorite. He was always trying to get people to go night fishing with him. That night he said he wasn't in the mood. So they left, and Jeremiah stayed behind. With me. We watched TV and played cards. We spent most of the summer doing that. Just us. We cemented things between us that summer. He'd wake me up early some mornings, and we would go collect shells or sand crabs, or ride our bikes to the ice cream place 3 miles away. When it was just us two, he didn't joke around as much. But he was still Jeremiah. From that summer on, I felt closer to Jeremiah than I did to my own brother. Jeremiah was nicer. Maybe because he was somebody's little sibling, too. Or maybe just because he was that kind of person. He was nice to everybody. He had a talent for making people feel comfortable. Chapter 15. It had been raining for 3 days. By 4 o'clock the third day, Jeremiah was stir-crazy. He wasn't the kind of person to stay inside. He was always moving, always on his way somewhere new. He said he couldn't take it anymore and asked who wanted to go to the movies. There was only one movie theater in Cousins besides the drive-in, and it was in a mall. Conrad was in his room, and when Jeremiah went up and asked him to come, he said no. He'd been spending an awful lot of time alone. In his room. And I could tell it hurt Stephen's feelings. He'd be leaving soon for a college road trip with our dad, and Conrad didn't seem to care. When Conrad wasn't at work, he was too busy strumming his guitar and listening to music. So it was just Jeremiah, Stephen, and me. I convinced them to watch a romantic comedy about two dog walkers who walk the same route and fall in love. It was the only thing playing. The next movie wouldn't start for another hour. About 5 minutes in, Stephen stood up, disgusted.
"I can't watch this," he said. "You coming, Jer?"
Jeremiah said, "Nah, I'll stay with Belly." Stephen looked surprised. He shrugged and said,
"I'll meet you guys when it's over."
I was surprised, too. It was pretty awful. Not long after Stephen left, a big burly guy sat in the seat right in front of me.
"I'll trade you,"
Jeremiah whispered. I thought about doing the fake, "That's okay," thing, but decided against it. This was Jeremiah, after all. I didn't have to be polite. So instead, I said thanks, and we traded. To see the screen, Jeremiah had to keep craning his neck to the right and lean toward me. His hair smelled like Asian pears, this expensive shampoo Susanna used. It was funny. He was this big, tall football guy now, and he smelled so sweet. Every time he leaned in, I breathed in the sweet smell of his hair. I wished my hair smelled like that. Halfway through the movie, Jeremiah got up suddenly. He was gone a few minutes. When he came back, he had a large soda and a pack of Twizzlers. I reached for the soda to take a sip, but there were no straws. "You forgot the straws," I told him. He ripped the plastic off of the Twizzler box and bit the ends off of two Twizzlers. Then he put them in the cup. He grinned broadly. He looked so proud of himself. I'd forgotten all about our Twizzler straws. We used to do it all the time. We sipped out of the straws at the same time, like in a 1950s Coke commercial. Heads bent, foreheads almost touching. I wondered if people thought we were on a date. Jeremiah looked at me, and he smiled in this familiar way. And suddenly I had this crazy thought. I thought, Jeremiah Fisher wants to kiss me. Which was crazy. This was Jeremiah. He'd never looked at me like that. And as for me, Conrad was the one I liked, even when he was moody and inaccessible the way he was now. It had always been Conrad. I'd never seriously considered Jeremiah. Not with Conrad standing there. And of course, Jeremiah had never looked at me that way before either. I was his pal, his movie-watching partner, the girl he shared a bathroom with, shared secrets with. I wasn't the girl he kissed. Chapter 16. Age 14. I knew bringing Taylor was a mistake. I knew it. I knew it, and I did it anyway. Taylor Jewel. My best friend. The boys in our grade called her Jewel, which she pretended to hate, but secretly loved. Taylor used to say that every time I came back from the summer house, she had to win me over again. She had to make me want to be there, in my real life, with school and school boys and school friends. She'd try to pair me up with the cutest friend of the guy she was obsessed with at the time. I'd go along with it, and maybe we'd go to the movies or to the Waffle House, but I'd never really be there. Not completely. Those boys didn't compare to Conrad or Jeremiah. So what was the point? Taylor was always the pretty one. The one the boys looked at for that extra beat. I was the funny one. The one who made the boys laugh. I thought that by bringing her, I'd be proving that I was a pretty one too. See? See, I'm like her. We are the same. But we weren't. And everybody knew it. I thought that bringing Taylor would guarantee me an invitation to the boys' late-night walks on the boardwalk and their nights on the beach in sleeping bags. I thought it would open up my whole social world that summer, that I would finally, finally be in the thick of things. I was right about that part, at least. Taylor had been begging me to bring her for forever. I'd resisted her, saying it'd be too crowded. But she was very persuasive. It was my own fault. I'd bragged about the boys too much. And deep down, I did want her there. She was my best friend, after all. She hated that we didn't share everything, every moment, every experience. When she joined the Spanish club, she insisted I join too, even though I didn't take Spanish. "For when we go to Cabo after graduation," she said. I wanted to go to the Galapagos Islands for graduation. That was my dream. I wanted to see a blue-footed booby. My dad said he'd take me, too. I didn't tell Taylor, though. She wouldn't like it. My mother and I picked Taylor up at the airport. She walked off the plane in a pair of short shorts and a tank top I'd never seen before. Hugging her, I tried not to sound jealous when I said, "When'd you get that?" "My mom took me shopping for beach stuff right before I left," she said, handing me one of her duffel bags. "Cute, right?" "Yeah, cute." Her bag was heavy. I wondered if she'd forgotten she was only staying a week. She feels bad she and Daddy are getting a divorce, so she's buying me all kinds of stuff, Taylor continued, rolling her eyes. "We even got mani-pedis together. Look!" Taylor lifted up her right hand. Her nails were painted a raspberry color, and they were long and square. "Are those real?" "Yeah. Duh. I don't wear fake belly." "But I thought you had to keep your nails short for violin." "Oh, that. Mommy finally let me quit violin. Divorce guilt," she said knowingly. "You know how it is." Taylor was the only girl I knew our age who still called her mother Mommy. She was the only one who could get away with it, too. The boys came to attention right away. Right away they looked at her, checked out her smallish B-cups and her blonde hair. "It's a miracle bra," I wanted to tell them. "That's half a bottle of Sun-In. Her hair isn't usually that yellow." Not that they would have cared either way. My brother, on the other hand, barely looked up from the TV. Taylor irritated him. Always had. I wondered if he'd already warned Conrad and Jeremiah about her. "Hi, Steven," she said in a sing-song voice.
"Hey,"
he mumbled. Taylor looked at me and crossed her eyes. "Grump," she mouthed, emphasis on the P. I laughed. "Taylor, this is Conrad and Jeremiah. Steven, you know." I was curious about who she'd pick. Who she'd think was cuter, funnier, better. "Hey," she said, sizing them up. And right away I could tell Conrad was the one. And I was glad, because I knew that Conrad would never, ever go for her.
"Hey,"
they said. Then Conrad turned back to the TV, just like I knew he would. Jeremiah treated her to one of his lopsided smiles and said,
"So you're Belly's friend, huh? We thought she didn't have any friends."
I waited for him to grin at me to show he was just joking,
but he didn't even look my way. "Shut up, Jeremiah," I said, and he grinned at me then, but it was a quick cursory one, and he went right back to looking at Taylor. "Belly has tons of friends," Taylor informed him in her breezy way. "Do I look like someone who would hang with a loser?"
"Yes,"
my brother said from the couch. His head popped up.
"You do."
Taylor glared at him. "Go back to jacking off, Stephen." She turned to me and said, "Why don't you show me our room?"
"Yes, why don't you do that, Belly? Why don't you go be Tay-Tay's slave?"
Stephen said. Then he lay back down again. I ignored him. "Come on, Taylor." As soon as we got to my room, Taylor flung herself onto the bed by the window. My bed. The one I always slept in. "Oh my God, he is so cute." "Which one?" I said, even though I knew. "The dark one, of course. I love my men dark." Inwardly, I rolled my eyes. Men? Taylor had only ever gone out with two boys, neither of them anything close to being men. "I doubt it will happen," I told her. "Conrad doesn't care about girls." I knew that wasn't true. He did care about girls. He'd cared enough about that girl, Angie, from last summer to go to second with her, hadn't he? Taylor's brown eyes gleamed. "I love a challenge. Didn't I win class president last year and class secretary the year before that?"
"Of course I remember.
I was your campaign manager, but Conrad's different. He's..." I hesitated, searching for just the right word to scare Taylor off. "Almost, like, disturbed."
"What?"
she shrieked. Quickly, I backtracked. Maybe disturbed had been too strong a word. "I don't mean disturbed exactly, but he can be really intense. Serious, you should go for Jeremiah. I think he's more your type." "And just what does that mean, Belly?" Taylor demanded. "That I'm not deep?"
"Well..."
She was about as deep as an inflatable kiddie pool. "Don't answer that." Taylor opened up her duffel bag and started pulling things out. "Jeremiah is cute, but Conrad's the one I want. I am gonna make that boy's head spin." "Don't say I didn't warn you." I was already looking forward to saying "I told you so" whenever that moment should arrive. Hopefully sooner than later. She lifted up a yellow polka dot bikini. "Itsy bitsy enough for Conrad, do you think?" "That bikini wouldn't fit Bridget," I said. Her little sister Bridget was 7, and she was small for her age. "Exactly." I rolled my eyes. "Don't say I didn't warn you. And that's my bed you're sitting on." The two of us changed into our suits right away. Taylor into her tiny yellow bikini and me into my black tankini with the support bra and the really high neckline. As we changed, she looked me over and said, "Belly, your boobs have really gotten big." I threw my t-shirt over my head and said, "Not really." But it was true. They had. Overnight, almost. I didn't have them the summer before, that was for sure. I hated them. They slowed me down. I couldn't run fast anymore. It was too embarrassing. It was why I wore baggy t-shirts and one-pieces. I couldn't stand to hear what the boys would say about it. They would tease me, for sure, and Stephen would tell me to go put some clothes on, which would make me want to die. "What size are you now?" she asked accusingly. "B," I lied. It was more like a C. Taylor looked relieved. "Oh, well, we're still the same then, because I'm practically a B. Why don't you wear one of my bikinis? You look like you're trying out for the swim team in that one piece." She lifted up a blue and white striped one with red bows on the sides. "I am on the swim team," I reminded her. I'd done winter swim with my neighborhood swim team.
I couldn't compete in summer because I was always at cousins. Being on the swim team made me feel connected to my summer life. Like it was just a matter of time before I was at the beach again.
Ugh, don't remind me, Taylor said.
She dangled the bikini from side to side. This would be so cute on you, with your brown hair and your new boobs. I made a face and pushed the bikini away. Part of me did want to show off and wow them with how much I had grown, how I was a real girl now. But the other, more sane part knew it would be a death wish. Steven would throw a towel over my head, and I would feel 10 years old again, instead of 13. But why? I like to do laps in the pool, I said, which was true. I did. She shrugged. Okay, but don't blame me when the guys don't talk to you. I shrugged right back at her. I don't care if they talk to me or not. I don't think of them that way. Yeah, right. You've been, like, obsessed with Conrad for as long as I've known you. You wouldn't even talk to any of the guys at school last year. Taylor, that was a really long time ago. They're like brothers to me. Just like Steven, I said, pulling on a pair of gym shorts. Talk to them all you want. The truth was, I liked both of them in different ways, and I didn't want her to know because whichever guy she picked would feel like a leftover. And it wasn't like it would sway Taylor. She was going for Conrad either way. I wanted to tell her anyone but Conrad. But it wouldn't be true? Not completely. I would be jealous if she picked Jeremiah, too, because he was my friend. Not hers. It took Taylor forever to pick out a pair of sunglasses that matched her bikini. She'd brought 4 pairs, plus 2 magazines and her suntan oil. By the time we got outside, the boys were already in the pool. I threw my clothes off right away, ready to jump in, but Taylor hesitated, her polo towel tight around her shoulders. I could tell she was suddenly nervous about her itsy bitsy bikini, and I was glad. I was getting a little bit sick of her showing off. The boys didn't even look over. I had been worried that with Taylor there, they might not want to do all the usual stuff, that they might act differently. But there they were, dunking one another for all it was worth. Kicking off my flip-flops, I said, "Let's get in the pool." "I might lay out for a little bit first," Taylor said. She finally dropped her towel and spread it out on a lounge chair. "Don't you want to lay out too?" "No, it's hot, and I want to swim. Besides, I'm already tan." And I was. I was turning the color of dark toffee. I looked like a whole different person in the summer, which might have been the best part of it. Taylor, on the other hand, was pasty and bright, like biscuit dough. I had a feeling she'd catch up with me fast, though. She was good at that. I took off my glasses and set them on top of my clothes. Then I walked over to the deep end and jumped right in. The water felt like a shock to the system, in the best way possible. When I came up for air, I treaded water over to the boys. "Let's play Marco Polo," I said. Steven, who was busy trying to dunk Conrad, stopped and said, "Marco Polo's boring." "Let's play chicken," Jeremiah suggested. "What's that?" I said. "It's when 2 teams of people climb up on each other's shoulders and you try to push the other person down," my brother explained. "It's fun, I swear," Jeremiah assured me. Then he called over to Taylor. "Tyler, you want to play chicken with us? Or are you too chicken?" Taylor looked up from her magazine. I couldn't see her eyes because of her sunglasses, but I knew she was annoyed. "It's Taylor, not Tyler, Jeremy. And no, I don't want to play." Steven and Conrad exchanged a look.
I knew what they were thinking. Come on, Taylor, it'll be fun, I said, rolling my eyes. Don't be a chicken. She made a big show of sighing, and then she put her magazine down and stood up, smoothing down her bikini in the back. Do I have to take my sunglasses off? Jeremiah grinned at her.
Not if you're on my team. You won't be falling off.
Taylor took them off anyway, and I realized then that the teams were uneven, and someone would have to sit out. I'll watch, I offered, even though I wanted to play.
That's okay. I won't play, Conrad said.
We'll play two rounds, said Stephen.
Conrad shrugged.
That's all right.
He swam over to the side of the pool.
I call Taylor, Jeremiah announced.
No fair, she's lighter, Stephen argued.
Then he looked over and saw the expression on my face.
It's just that you're taller than her is all.
I didn't want to play anymore. Why don't I just sit out then? I'd hate to break your back, Stephen. Jeremiah said,
Aw, I'll take you, Belly. We'll take those guys down. I think you're probably a lot tougher than little Taylor.
Taylor walked down the steps and into the pool slowly, cringing at the temperature.
I'm very tough, Jeremy, she said.
Then Jeremiah crouched down in the water, and I scrambled to get onto his shoulders. He was slippery, so it was hard to stay on at first. Then he stood up and righted himself. I shifted and balanced my hands on his head.
Am I too heavy? I asked him quietly.
He was so wiry and thin. I was afraid I'd break him.
You weigh like nothing, he lied, breathing hard and gripping onto my legs.
I wanted to kiss the top of his head right then.
Across from us, Taylor was perched on top of Stephen's shoulders, giggling and pulling his hair to hold herself steady. Stephen looked like he was ready to pitch her off of him and across the pool.
Ready?
Jeremiah asked. In a low voice, he said to me, The trick is to just keep steady.
Stephen nodded, and we waddled over to the middle of the pool. Conrad, who was treading over by the side, said,
Ready, set, go!
Taylor and I stretched our arms out to each other, pushing and shoving. She couldn't stop giggling, and when I gave her one strong push, she said, Oh, shit! And they both fell backward. Jeremiah and I burst out laughing and high-fived each other. When they resurfaced, Stephen glared at Taylor and said,
I told you to hold on tight.
She splashed him right in the face and said, I was! Her eyeliner was smudged and her mascara was starting to run. She still looked pretty, though. Jeremiah said,
Belly?
I said, Hmm? I was starting to get pretty comfortable up there. So high.
Watch out! Then he lurched forward, and I was flying into the water, and so was he.
I couldn't stop laughing, and I swallowed about a jug full of water, but I didn't care. When both of our heads popped up, I went straight for his and took him by surprise with a good dunk. Then Taylor said, Let's play again. I'll be with Jeremy this time. Stephen, you can be Belly's partner.
Stephen still looked grumpy, and he said, Con, take my spot.
All right. Conrad said, but his voice said he didn't want to at all.
When he swam over to me, I said defensively, I'm not that heavy.
I never said you were.
Then he stooped in front of me, and I climbed on top. His shoulders were more muscular than Jeremiah's. More weighty.
You okay up there?
Yeah. Across from us, Taylor was having trouble getting onto Jeremiah's shoulders. She kept slipping right off and laughing. They were having a lot of fun. Too much fun. I watched them jealously, and I almost forgot to be aware of the fact that Conrad was holding onto my legs, and as far as I could remember, he had never so much as accidentally grazed my knee before. Let's hurry up and play, I said. My voice sounded jealous even to my own ears. I hated that. Conrad had less trouble moving into the center of the pool,
I was kind of surprised by how easily he moved around with my extra weight around his shoulders.
Ready?
Conrad said to Jeremiah and Taylor.